It's time now for the business spotlight on the WMAY newsfeed. It's sponsored today by the SIU Center for Family Medicine. Dr. Michael Dinda is here with us, and we're talking immunizations this week. It's a broad category, and it goes far beyond just the COVID-19 vaccination. So much in the news these days. We have a lot to talk with it. So, Dr. Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We want to start in general. There are so many different immunizations out there. Can you walk us through a little bit about exactly what are immunizations? What types of immunizations are most common and beneficial out in the general public?
There are definitely a variety of ways of the vaccinations, how they are made and how they stimulate the body. Some of them are, to kind of go broadly, give you a portion of the infectious cause, and subsequently your body responds to it and creates the antibodies. Sometimes we give individuals a more dead version of that infectious cause, and subsequently your body stimulates the response and antibodies. And then there's obviously the some of the newer versions where we actually tell your body to produce antibodies or react to another antigen to create those antibodies. Each one, unfortunately, stimulates the body in a different way, and not one is better than the other. Unfortunately, we've had instances in the past where some vaccinations just didn't work as well, while others worked much better. One of the examples that we are seeing is the flu shot. And unfortunately, the flu shot does not offer a long-lasting immunity, because it's only good for the season that we're in, partly because the virus also mutates and changes from season to season.
You know, for many of us, immunizations have been part of our lives from before we can even remember. We got our first shots as infants, and it's just a common part of everyday life. And yet these days, it's become so much front and center again. But maybe walk us back to the beginning, just in general terms. Why do we vaccinate? Why have public health professionals gone out on mass vaccination campaigns to ensure that as many members of the public as possible have this immunization against these variety of illnesses?
Sure. So it all started almost 100 years ago. And the goal was to reduce the burden of that infectious process that was afflicting all of us. If not a lot of people are aware of this, but poliovirus hit the communities back in the 30s and 40s and even 50s quite drastically, and it can cause lasting effects. I personally know of an individual who caught the poliovirus, and now they are dealing with all the side effects, and they've dealt with all the side effects of that condition. And the reason for the vaccinations is to reduce that burden. I'll be the first to tell you that in my 14 years of practice, I've only seen so far one case of chickenpox, partly because we were able to create a vaccine to reduce that incidence of that condition. I myself got the chickenpox when I was a high schooler. So by giving the vaccine, we are preventing people getting sick from the disease and subsequently having any adverse reactions. And unfortunately, some of these conditions like polio, they cause lasting effects with the ability to be mobile. Paralysis can lead with it to a certain degree, and just not pleasant continuation of life. A lot of other conditions, things like measles and mumps, they can cause heart problems. Obviously, whooping cough, we've kind of reduced the incidence of that. Tetanus also has been kind of brought down significantly. However, we do have individuals who unfortunately opt not to have the vaccination. And as a result, we are seeing an occasional breakthrough incidences of these conditions coming up.
Dr. Michael Dinda here with us from the SIU Center for Family Medicine. Doctor, as you noted, we do occasionally have situations where some of these immunizations are perhaps not as effective as hoped and require then more follow-up, such as with flu shots. But in reality, many of these immunizations are very effective and offer long-term, very solid protection against some of these illnesses you talked about, such as measles, mumps, and so on.
Correct. I wish all the vaccines that we develop would work the same way, where we are reducing the conditions, without a doubt. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And we do have to have sometimes boosters. Some of the vaccinations, in order for you to build up that effectiveness rate, require multiple shots. Unfortunately, there are 6 billion individuals in this world. Unfortunately, the vaccines are made in such a way that it with the hopes that it affects and improves the quality of everybody. But unfortunately, genetically, we are always a little bit different. And as a result, our body may not respond to that vaccine. So that's why boosters are needed, and or potentially other mechanisms of vaccinations.
One of the challenges these days is finding good, solid, reliable information about vaccinations. In your practice, what do you encounter in terms of common misinformation or misperceptions that are out there? And what do people need to know to set the record straight?
Well, I always reference the CDC as the go-to place for all the information about the vaccines. There is a portal for both the providers, and then there's also ones for patients. I think they have a great resource of all the common side effects and or what they're used and how often and when they should be received. Unfortunately, there is a lot of information out there, especially on the internet, by sites that you may not even know are credible. There's a lot of communication on social media, and we all know that there is valid information, but there's also a lot of invalid information. And that's the hard part, is because somebody says something, I read it, and then somebody else reads it, and then they misinterpret it. And unfortunately, things do change. And as much as you may interpret a portion of a comment as being tragic or somehow, you know, impacting you negatively, you have to look at the context of the whole message. And I think that's where social media and sometimes the internet lacks.
Are some vaccines meant just for some people and not necessarily for everybody or for the public at large? What are some of those more specialized types of vaccines?
I would say vaccines are made for almost everybody. There are certain vaccines that are more geared for the younger population, partly because we're trying to prevent these conditions from developing. There is really no difference between genders. There are some variations with regards to age. So individuals who are older may require a slightly stronger dose if they're getting immunized for the first time or they need a booster, versus more of a pediatric patient. But that's the extent of that.
I know in my case, I'm of an age now where I have to get the shingles vaccine. You can't get that when you're younger, but now I'm in the prime demographic to get that. So that we'd add that to that list as well. Dr. Michael Dinda with the SAU Center for Family Medicine. I'm sure people have many other questions about immunizations, need reliable information. How can they reach out to you and to SIU to get the facts?
I would always say reach out to your primary care physician to discuss immunizations. I myself talk to all of my patients about vaccinations, the pros and the cons. And we train our future residents and future physicians to do the same. But that's probably the best place. And alternatively, reach out to more credible websites like the CDC or any local health department website.
And again, to learn more, you can contact the SAU Center for Family Medicine, 217-545-8000 or siumed.org. Dr. Michael Dinda, thanks so much for joining us here in the Business Spotlight on the news feed, WMAY on 92.7, 94.7, and 970 AM.
Thank you for having me.